Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Awesome. I just wanted to make sure before we got started.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Let's see, I think we're missing Dawn.
Who are we missing, Daniel?
Well, I was absent last month, and so I'm wondering if we've had a board substitution that I don't know about. Is that accurate?
Yes, we absolutely did, Daniel. Ebony James is the replacement for Mr. Dupree. His term had expired and he stayed on just a little while longer to help us out. And Ebony
okay.
is a board member. She's an attorney with ORNL, is that right?
Oak Ridge Associated Universities, but we're very similar, so that's okay.
Well,
thank you all. Hi, Daniel. Nice to meet you.
Welcome. Good to meet you. And I wish somebody had told me. I had no idea, so I apologize. I'm sitting here looking silly, just waiting on somebody to show up. So, all right, we'll get going. Welcome to the Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Here online with me are the other members of BZA, Don Horton, Christina Bowler, and Grant Rosenberg, and Ebony James now. Also here online are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in order of the agenda. Agendas were sent to all meeting attendees via email prior to today's online meeting. Pursuant to the Board of Zoning Appeals administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and then a second, discussion, further discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except as the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for a rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have previously been presented to the board. If you wish to speak at the appropriate time, please raise your hand on the Zoom meeting platform here. Then when called on, speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with Plans Review and Building Inspections Department in no more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. LeClaire to call the roll.
Don Horton.
Here.
Ebony James.
Ebony.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Daniel Odell.
Here. Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's get going. Let's see. Need to ask. Oh, there's a special motion, of course, because we are online. Motions to confirm. I need to make a motion to confirm that we are conducting today's meeting by electronic means, and this is necessary to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of Tennesseans in light of the COVID-19 outbreak. That's a motion. I need a second, please.
Second.
Motion is second. Ms. LeClaire, please call a vote.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Ebony James.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye. Thank you very much. I was not, as I just said a minute ago, in attendance last month's meeting, so I cannot make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from last month. Can I get a motion from one of my board members?
I'll move that we approve the January 2001 meeting minutes as written.
I'll second it.
Motion is second. Any comment or addition to last month's meeting before we vote? Hearing none, Ms. LeClaire, please call a roll call vote.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Ebony James.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
I'm going to abstain. Motion carries, and so we'll move. I don't believe there's any old business this month. We're going to move straight into new business. File 2A21VA. The applicant is Anthony Nelson, and I think that Anthony is here to speak. Anthony, before you speak, very quickly, I just want to ask the city, were there any additional comments from the city other than what's been sent out in the prior document?
No additional comments at this point.
Okay, thank you. Anthony, if you would please state your name and address for the record and tell us about your variance request and the need for your hardship, or what your hardship is.
My name is Anthony Nelson. You want my physical address or the address where the variance is I'm applying for?
Your physical address, please.
5037 Morningstar Lane, Knoxville, 37909.
Thank you. Tell us about your variance request. What are you looking for?
First of all, thank you for granting me this opportunity to be in front of you guys today. I'm applying for this variance for my client. Their family is growing substantially. They took on some family members from one of the siblings. And with the price of housing right now, we thought it would be cheaper for them to do an addition instead of try to move. And so we applying for this variance due to the setbacks on the right side. We're doing an addition on the back side as well. We're okay with the setbacks, but they're trying to add a bedroom to the right side. And the reason we're going to the right side is the left side, there's a potential sinkhole. And most of the sinkhole is on the property owned by CEC Church. We reached out to them to see would they be willing to get the survey, get someone to come out and definitely give us a thumbs up or thumb down on the sinkhole, but they declined. So we can't do any digging on their property. So that's the reason we moved it to the right side of the house. And as you can see, where we're trying to put the addition is actually on the driveway. The deck that's there now will come down and we will put the addition right in the driveway. We're not asking for any more of the land. And it butts up to a parking lot owned by another church across the street. And forgive me, but I don't know the name of that particular church. So it is an open area. There's no buildings or anything that it'd be buttoned up against other than just open area. That is Mountain Zion Baptist Church, I'm sorry. And there is a shed already on the property in that same location that's within the setbacks of the 8 feet now that probably within 4 feet of the setback to the property line now. So that's the reason we requesting a vacancy to build on the right side instead of the left side where the possible sinkhole is.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comments or questions from the board and staff? It seems fairly straightforward. Do you have, I'm looking through things here, are there any photos? Yes. Does the board have any further question or comment about this?
How do you know that there's a sinkhole there?
When we was getting the land surveyed, my surveyor, I wasn't there at the time, and he asked the owners, have this ever been surveyed for a sinkhole? He said, and to him, it looked like it was a sinkhole. So, of course, they called me at meeting. I came over, and we walked the property line, and there is a big indention, a drastic drop-off from the elevation. So that's when we reached out to the church behind CEC and tried to see if they would go in with my client to give us a definite answer on the sinkhole. So from his experience, my surveyor, he think it is a sinkhole.
Okay. That was the question I had as well. There is a drop off there that you can tell in the adjoining lot, the neighboring lot. But your surveyor didn't find a sinkhole on this property, is that correct? On your property?
No. Right at the edge of the property is going through. When we done the survey, it was this past summer, and the leaves and trees was all still grown up. But their property, it kind of goes through the edge of the property. The sinkhole like starts. The decline of the elevation starts on their property.
Okay. I can see that.
And what is the property behind this large property that shows up as looks like a very large piece of property with one structure on it?
Yes,
spring that could be an indication of a sinkhole nearby.
The property behind?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the church, CEC church, Community Evangelistic Community Church.
Okay. And
behind it is a little bit of grass and dirt, and then it starts the parking lot, and then the church is farther on behind.
Okay.
This is Joshua Fraze with city staff. Just looking at the contours, I don't really see evidence of a sinkhole, and we don't have any evidence on a plat to show a sinkhole. That being said, TDEC, the Tennessee Department of Environmental Conservation, offers a free service. May not be the most timely service because it's free, but free nonetheless, where they will inspect sites for if there's a suspected sinkhole, and they can confirm it or deny if there is indeed a sinkhole on a site.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
I have a question for the applicant. Assuming there was not a sinkhole, would it be the owner's preference to build it on the left side of the house, or is it the preference? I mean, there's some topography challenges too, But assuming there was not a sinkhole, would it be the preference to build it on the left side of the house?
At the beginning, the preference was on the left side. That's their thought. Once they got me involved and I looked at it, I had told them that it'd be better on the right side because that's easier access from the right side to do the addition. Going on the left side, we also chose be some challenges as far as entry to that particular addition because the kitchen is on the left side. There's a bedroom, kitchen, bathroom, and another bedroom all on that left side. And gaining access to another bedroom on the left will be challenging. So that's why I told him as a contractor, it will be easier and less expensive to go to the right side.
I think I'd also point out to our applicant's point, the house, and Don, I'd be interested in your thought on this comment, but my thought is the house is not centered on the lot, and there's a reason for that. It's kind of in a weird place on the lot. If I had the square, I wouldn't build a house the way they built it. So it seems to me there was some forethought on the front end about the topography and potentially about the changing slope to that side. And so they put the property over where they did to stay away from that slope and from that side of the property. So I kind of get the point of not wanting to go to build towards that direction any further.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think if you set aside the sinkhole question or issue, from a standpoint of the constraints of the lot and the topography of the lot, I think it's a legitimate variance. I think it fits within the character. You know, there's not a neighboring property right up on the house on the right side, nor does it look like there would be anything built there in the near future. But based on that, I'll make a motion that we approve. Item 2-A-21-VA, based on the topography constraints on the property.
I will second that motion and just comment briefly. This seems to me to be the only house on that side of the block, or the only lot next is the neighboring lot next door is the only lot other than a parking lot that's not built on. So it seems likely to me that this is a reasonable request, even based on the sinkhole, but based on the topography as well. I'm going to support that motion. The motion is second. Any other comment by the board? Okay, hearing none, motion second. Juliana, please call a roll call vote.
John Horton.
Aye.
Ebony James.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye. Hearing aye, none opposed, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. Appreciate you guys.
The next up is 2B21VA, JT Development Group, and I believe they have there's someone here to speak to this. I'm not exactly sure who, but before you start speaking, if you just real quick, let's double check. There were no further comments from the city on this.
Hold on, Daniel. Technology's catching up. No, there's no further comments at this point, Daniel.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Sorry.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry, I just lost my little screen here. There it goes. I see Kevin Murphy here, and there's someone named John. Is it John that's here to speak to this application, or?
Hey, can everyone hear me?
You're here to speak to the application, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record. tell us about your variance and the reason for your hardship.
Okay, it's John Moore, 234 Morrell Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. And I'm here to represent JT Development Group, LLC. And we are asking for an entrance sign to our development. We have 12 units, 12 townhomes going in. And as of right now, you have to have more than 26 units to get an entrance sign.
Okay, and John, is that what is the hardship associated with your request?
Well, I mean, I guess the hardship is the fact that we'd like an entrance sign, obviously, for identification to our development. The hardship is that you have to have 26 or more to be able to fill out, you know, get a sign application. Yeah, under current guidelines.
Okay. All right. And I tell you what, before we talk about that further, I believe there is someone here to speak in opposition to this. Mr. Murphy, would you please state your name and address for the record?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Odell. This is Kevin Murphy, 4508 Murphy Road, 37918. I'm speaking on behalf of the Board of Scenic Knoxville. We're here in opposition to this this variance request. The sign ordinance is really prescriptive in cases of what entrance signs are allowed in the various residential zones. It does have a very clear and measurable requirement that you can have an entrance sign, but you do need to have 25 or 26 lots for that. So you know, we think that, you know, this is something that was intentionally put in place by the city council when the zoning ordinance was enacted. Signs are, you know, for granting a hardship for a sign, there might be, you know, some very strange unique topography issues, you know, that you might want to allow, you know, if it's the sign base is, you know, sunk really down below street level, maybe you want to let the sign up a little bit more. But generally, the applicant has use of the property for development and for the intent of the zoning ordinance. They're not being deprived of any use, and so in this case, you know, for the sign ordinance, you know, it's really specific. If this variance was granted, it would then make upholding this area of the sign ordinance pretty difficult. There is no hardship, so then, you know, the question would be, well, what floor, you know, how many units, you know, do I need to have? Could I have, you know, just one unit? Can I, you know, put a sign up in front of my, you know, single lot, you know, if I meet the street frontage of 150 feet and 2 acres, you know, can I go ahead and put up a monument or a column sign in front of my lot? So again, we'd urge you to uphold the sign ordinance as it's written. And if there's if this is something that needs to be looked at, then it's something that could be sent to the to city council to ask them to look at changing that ordinance. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin. Questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what the rationale may have been for the quantity of units. The 26 units just seems to be a somewhat arbitrary number. But with that said, I struggle to identify a clear hardship in this situation, but I do have a question just about that 26 unit number, where that may have come from, if staff may know or has the answer.
Grant, this is Scott Elder. Any answer I give would just be speculative on that. You know, it was that way in the previous ordinance as well. I don't think there wasn't a decision to change that. It's just remained as it was before.
Thanks, Scott. I just didn't know if there was some standard out there, some rationale behind the 26 units.
I had the same question as well. Thank you, Grant. Any other comment or question from the board? Generally hardship, and just by way of a, explanation, is something that's geographically based, size, shape, two front yards. There can be some legal hardships that qualify, but they typically have to do with the land. If you have a sinkhole like the previous applicant, or some weird topographical issue or soil condition that prevents use of land from one direction or another, is what is in the purview of this board's ability to say yes and no to. So just the fact that there's the code outlines a standard, and we're not okay with the standard, that doesn't really give us, I don't think, an ability to call that a hardship. So John, why I was asking about your hardship, I was wondering if there's something, geographically based, land based, that it would justify the need for the sign over there.
Daniel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, so when we first submitted this plan, I guess 2 years ago when we started this, we're in our third year on this development. The plan was approved by everybody, and our site plan clearly had two entrance signs on there. So we were always under the impression that, really, to be honest with you, it never was going to be a problem to have an entrance sign. You go down Dean Hill Drive, you've got Glen Ivy's, Cleveland Park, Sutton Place, everybody's got signage down through there for their development. So a hardship would really be not to have one when we're building $8 million worth of high-end condos there, to not have a name on them. That's just me and my partner under the impression that everything was approved on that site plan. We clearly showed the signs that were on there in the early stages. And, so that's why we're applying for the sign variance, because we went for the sign application and they indicated that, this 26 unit rule. And so that's what we're applying for. We want to do it on one side. We're not putting it on both sides of the street. It would really be bad if we couldn't have a sign. Just for identification purposes, people pulling in to a high end 12 unit condo complex, it'd be a real shame not to have a name on it.
And I understand that business, and I'm sympathetic to that. I'm looking for, something that's kind of in the purview of what we can say yes to. How did their sign get, Scott Elder or probably Scott, how did their sign get through? Did they get a building permit with the sign in the plans? How did that happen?
Daniel, the sign permit's completely separate.
It is, so if you have a sign in your plan, it doesn't get reviewed at all in
That's correct. And we've actually got the use owner view pulled up here, and we're not showing a sign on that development plan. I'm not aware of any sign permits being applied for. So we're just not seeing it.
Yeah.
Daniel, this is Peter Ahrens, Director of Plans Review and Building Inspections. Typically, Plans Review and Building Inspections does not get involved until permits are being issued. So during the subdivision process, we're not part of that process, and so our eyes are not on it. But apparently, as Scott was saying, the use on review that we do have access to does not show the signage.
Hey, Daniel, the mm-hmm. Sign that you have up right there has the signage on it.
Yes. I mean,
that's the one we've had since day one that was approved.
Right, but the signage, again, doesn't get really reviewed until you pull your permit for the sign, because it's a separate process. So I'm sympathetic to it, but I get why you're where you are too. I'm just talking for myself. I obviously board, we've all got a vote, but I'm just asking that question again to underline trying to understand if there was any other reason there, then it's just, it was honestly something that was overlooked. Any other question from the board for John?
Yeah, I don't have much of a question. I just echo Daniel's comment. I mean, legally as a board, I don't know how we can approve this variance because there's no legal, it doesn't meet the legal definition, doesn't meet the legal requirements for a variance. And it's, you know, that's right there in black and white. With that said, I don't particularly like I'm just wondering where this number, 26 unit number came from. It just seems very arbitrary. So I'm not crazy about the ordinance, but that's not our job to legislate. Our job is to review these variances for appropriateness and approve or deny. And that's where we're at. So, based on that, unfortunately, I'll make the motion that we deny this variance and, I don't know if we can do this. We've done this in other sign cases before us, but I would recommend MPC or city look at this ordinance and maybe look at a more rational language and definition for quantity of units.
We have a motion to deny 2B21VA. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. I will say, John, just before we call for vote, that all of our decisions can be appealed to City Council. And just as a reminder, Juliano, if you would please call a roll call vote. Julianne, are you there? You're on mute.
I'm sorry about that. Don Horton?
Aye.
Ebony James?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Daniel Odle?
Aye. Okay, motion passes to deny 2B21VA. Thank you for the application. Moving on to 2C21VA, and that is Patrick Mines, 2400 Sherwood Drive. Or I'm sorry, 6400 Sherwood Drive. And I believe that Patrick is here to speak to this. Before we do that, though, just real quick, is there any further comment from the city other than what was sent earlier?
No, Daniel, no further comments at this point.
Okay, thank you very much. Patrick, are you here to tell us about your variance request? Looks like you're there.
Yes, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you now. Thank you very much. State your name and address for the record. Tell us about your request and the need for the hardship. The hardship is.
He's with R2R, right?
Yeah, my name is Patrick Mines. My address is 5455 Lance Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37909. And as Daniel said, it is 6400 Sherwood Drive. And our main hardship revolves around the fact that, as you can see in our application here, this smaller development of three houses is a cul-de-sac that's accessed from a shared easement off of Sherwood Drive. So that being said, and we're lot one there, our technical address in front of our house is Sherwood Drive. But the functional and, our opinion, best use of this lot is for the front, of the house to be facing the cul-de-sac, as that's how. There's one current house in the cul-de-sac that's facing the inward towards the cul-de-sac. There's a second house being built in that direction. And so we have this laid out, as you can see here, the 40-foot front setback, that's Sherwood, and the 10-foot rear setback, that is the cul-de-sac. And so that's caused some two main concerns and requests of ours. The first, let me read it here so I get it correct. The first is for reduction in transparency. On the Sherwood elevation, there's a required 25%. We're at 17%. And the second is for a reduction in the requirement for continuous run of wall from 29 feet to 24 feet. Again, both of these stem from the fact that those are requirements for front elevations. And that's our functional back. And the way we've designed the house, because the front is towards the cul-de-sac and the back is towards Sherwood, we've arranged the house as such. So for the windows, for example, we have added more windows on the sides and front, which means that on the back side, we have less windows so that we can have more wall space for functionality purposes. And so for mainly because of the front of the house is facing the cul-de-sac and the back is actually our front, we're asking for these variances.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. Let me ask real quick if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this. If so, please raise your hand on the Zoom meeting platform so we can move you over. I don't see anyone raising their hand. All right, no one is here to speak in opposition. What questions do we have for Patrick regarding this variance request?
Do the other houses on the cul-de-sac, do they also have an address of Sherwood Drive?
I cannot confirm. I'm pretty positive the house adjacent to us, I believe that would be lot 2, has a Sherwood Drive. Mm-hmm. The other house across the cul-de-sac from us, they would have a Westland Drive, I believe, if they actually back up to Westland. I do not know what their technical address is.
John, I'm looking right now, and they all looks like all four of those parcels on the cul-de-sac have a Sherwood Drive.
Sherwood Drive
address.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which the cul-de-sac does seem like the front of the house as you're looking at it, and the back of the property in function to the site faces Sherwood Drive. So I'm not hung up on that the Sherwood Drive should be considered the front of the house.
Patrick, have you spoken with your neighborhood association at all? I'm just curious. I don't remember the details, but my memory is telling me that there was some pushback once upon a time to the 6406 Sherwood property when it was built. And I don't remember the details of it, but I remember the neighborhood association was displeased with some things. Has there been any comment from anyone in your neighborhood? Did you have your sign up on the property displayed?
Yeah, so the sign has been up since the city put it up. We haven't moved it. And I have not spoken to anybody on the board. The designer for this new construction, she lives in the neighborhood and her sign was up. And she received a couple calls from, I know one of them was on the board of the neighborhood association, but and she explained what was happening and they seemed comfortable with it. As to the original issue you mentioned with the first development, I believe they got whatever issues they had sorted out, handled. I don't know the details of those. I think it revolved around they did not want this parcel to be broken up into four separate parcels, but it obviously has, so.
Right. And I think I see on your plan, but just to confirm, you're intending to keep the existing trees that are there that are on?
Sure. Yes. We certainly do. And I think anybody who purchases that house would, because it does back up to Sherwood Drive. And those are some nice mature evergreens yes. all along that back line there. And so again, I think anybody who purchases that would love to keep those. And I think maybe what you're getting at, that the back of that house would be even less visible.
Right. And that you're exactly right. That's what I'm asking about. And there's, you know, what is just like from a practical standpoint, the impact of that being the back of the house is a thought.
Right.
Are there any other questions or comments from the board?
I had a question about the common area. Maybe you mentioned this and I didn't hear it, but is there a joint permanent easement there?
Correct. Yeah. So okay. The picture's showing right now. Yeah. So the right to the left of lot one there is a joint permanent easement. Okay. And yep.
Just making sure. Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and make a motion since I'm on a roll. I'll make a motion we approve due to the unique characteristics of this lot and the fact that there's a kind of an internal road frontage along the joint permanent easement. I think this is a reasonable request, and therefore I make a motion that we approve item 2-C-21-VA.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
A clarification. We are addressing both of the variances in here, the wall and the orientation. I will second.
Grant, I'm assuming that's what you meant.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My suggestion was approving the entire application, so that would imply both requests. But thanks for the clarification, we can let the record reflect that.
Sure. We have a motion and a second to approve 2C21VA, 6400 Sherwood Drive. Any other comment from staff? From the board. Hearing none. Juliana, please call a roll call vote.
Don Horton?
Aye.
Ebony James?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Daniel Odell?
Aye. Okay, motion carries, and thank you very much. Next up is 2E21VA, Sarah Martin, 1121 Eleanor Street. Before Sarah speaks real quick, just to confirm, there's no further comment from city staff on this variance.
No further comments, Daniel.
Thank you, Scott. Sarah, if you would, please state your name and address for the record and tell us about your request and the nature of your hardship.
Hi, this is Sarah Martin, and my address is 1121 Eleanor Street. And the application includes three variances. We're doing a mostly interior renovation, but it includes a small covered porch in the back of our house, which we have a small lot of record in Fourth and Gill. And so that kind of automatically triggers a slew of variances that are needed in order to add a small covered area. One of them is is building coverage. That we've requested a variance to increase that 45.3%. The small lot of record that we have is just under 5,000 square feet. It's 4,441 square feet. We are also hoping to break up a small portion, 74 square feet of the existing driveway, which will increase our impervious area on the site. the reason that triggers a variance is because it technically gets rid of one of our off-street, required off-street parking spaces. But you can see from, there's a plan with dimensions on it that I'm sure we'll scroll through in front of us here soon. There it is. So right where you see the word driveway to be removed, you can see we put a dimension of 6'7" wide there. It's only 6'7" wide because that little bump there is our chimney, kind of protrudes into that space. So we added that just to show that you can't actually park a car there anyway, because the width is kind of below what you could park a modern vehicle. And then the third requested variance is to increase the allowed impervious coverage. So even though we are getting rid of some concrete, we're still over the allowed impervious coverage because of that hardship of the small lot of record. So those three variances are what we're applying for, and the hardship for all three is the small lot of record.
Thank you, Sarah. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? If so, please raise your hand on the little Zoom platform here. Don't see anyone raising their hand in opposition, so we'll go straight to board question and comment. One question I have just for city real quick, substandard lot width, is it 50 feet? Is this a substandard lot under today's zoning?
Stand by there. I think it is. We're going to verify that. I know the overall footage is substandard. It's 5,000 for that neighborhood. Yeah, it's 40. They're at 47, so they're substandard in width and area.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions for Sarah, fellow board members? It's a tight lot.
We love it, but it's small.
It is teeny. Don't everyone speak at once, please.
I'll make a motion. We approve. Sorry, I gotta look up the number every time. Variance 2-E-21-VA due to it being a small lot of record. There's clearly precedent for these variances, and I move we approve it, all three variances.
We have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Juliana, please call roll call vote.
Don Horton.
Aye.
Ebony James.
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg.
Aye.
Christina Bowler.
Aye.
Daniel Odell.
Aye. Motion carries. 2E21VA is approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up is 2F21VA. John Brock with a series of addresses on Troy Circle. And before Mr. Brock speaks up, just need to confirm with the city. There's no additional comment.
No additional comments at this time, Dan.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Brock, if you would state your name and address for the record and tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship.
Yeah, thanks for letting me speak. Can you hear me okay?
We can, thank you very much.
Great, my name is John Brock, 265 Brookview Center Way, Suite 604, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. The owner of these three addresses, 416, 426, and 420 Troy Circle, is asking permission for to subdivide 416 Troy Circle for purposes of a sale. This is a unique office park in general, but a unique property in that this is a 416 Troy is a rather large office building that is sitting empty. I can only speculate, but the owner is currently just using it for some storage. It has a unique opportunity to sell this building to owners of the next door property, which operate River Media. It's a television production company, and they would utilize this building for a television production studio, which does not on a day-to-day basis require the same amount of parking that an office building, certainly one of this size, would require. And so we think it's a unique opportunity to put this building to, you know, its best use, and in a way that works for this unique piece of property. The owners are going to have to outfit this building with a lot of expensive production equipment, sound, lighting, that sort of thing. So that is why they are interested in a purchase. There are 17 lots on the property today, and the requirement is 30. All three buildings will continue to have access to all 17 lots through a cross parking easement that will run with the properties. So they're not going to lose access to the 17 existing lots, parking lots that are there today. The other variance we're requesting is that the setback requirement of 25 feet for building 426 be reduced to 14.9 feet. There's not going to be any changes to the footprint of 416 Troy with the improvements the buyer wants to do. It's all going to be inside the building. So the space between 416 and 426 that exists today won't change. The variance is necessary just because of the subdivision line that would go between the buildings.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's see here, for a matter of, let me ask real quick if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. And if so, please raise your hand on the Zoom platform here so that we can move you over. Okay, thank you very much. Don't see anybody that's here to speak in opposition. John, I'd like to ask to me an obvious question, which is, why don't they buy the whole property?
Two reasons. The buyer doesn't have a use for the other two buildings, and the seller doesn't want to sell them. The seller uses 420 Troy as a two-person office space for personal use. It's two offices, and 426 is used for his personal storage. And today, those buildings aren't for sale. Not to say they wouldn't be in the future, but I'd be speculating on that.
Sure. Okay. What other questions do we have as a board for John?
I have a question to staff with regard to the parking variance. It sounds like they have an agreement allowing access with the shared parking. Would that satisfy? I know we've requested that in the past. Wouldn't that satisfy would they still need a variance if they have an agreement in place for parking?
They would, Grant. For all three buildings on the lot as it sits, 36 spaces are required, and they only have 17. So it, in any configuration, they'd still need something.
So it's essentially legally non-conforming right now anyway. So even if they bought, or if they were to do any changes to the buildings, that they're currently don't meet the parking requirements.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
What other questions do we have? I have a question for City, I believe. I'm not sure who'd, I think maybe Christina can answer my question. From a process standpoint, this property hasn't transferred yet. We're granting a variance based on a contract, if I understand this correctly. So how does this work from a process standpoint for them? I need to be reminded about that.
Yeah, so typically we do allow option holders to apply for these types of things. Mr. Brock, is that the current status of the applicant?
I'm sorry, do you mind repeating the question?
Yeah, so typically we do allow for option holders to be able to apply for variances. Sometimes that's, you know, in the case of, you know, planning issues as well, things like rezonings and whatnot. So Mr. Brock, is the status of your client, are they option holders at this point?
No, there's a purchase agreement between the parties. But it's conditioned on obviously getting the subdivision and then the easements in place and a number of other things. So it's not, it's more than an option, I guess. It's an agreement contingent on this proceeding.
And it's the property owner, current property owner, who is initiating the subdivision.
That's correct.
Okay, and these are the only variances you think, John, that will come up from that subdivision process? In other words, I'm asking where you are in the process with the surveyor that's going to subdivide and then go to record. Where are you in that process?
The plat is final. This is the only request we would be making.
Okay, that's what I assumed, but I just wanted to check. Okay. All right, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the board?
I don't see any problems with this. I'm trying to figure out how to articulate the reason. I'll take a stab at it, but I'll make a motion. We approve item 2-F-21-BA due to the fact that once they subdivide, they'll be very unique. They'll have unique characteristics that would not allow them to add additional parking spaces. So essentially, you know, I'm trying to think of it as if they were going to renovate the property. It doesn't, you know, it currently doesn't have enough parking spaces to meet the zoning ordinance. I see it as kind of a legal non-conforming. I don't see any substantive change in the use. So I think it's a reasonable request. So for that reason, I'm going to make a motion we approve.
I'll second that motion under basically the same justification that it seems like to me that if they pulled any permit on this property right now, that a very similar variance would have to be required because it's pre-existing non-conforming right now. So with that understanding, it seems like no matter how you cut the property and divide it, it seems like something's going to have to happen anyway. So I can get behind it because of that. So I'll second that. Any other comment from the board? Okay, hearing none, Juliana, please call roll call vote on 2F21VA.
John Horton?
Aye.
Ebony James?
Aye.
Grant Rosenberg?
Aye.
Christina Bowler?
Aye.
Daniel Odell?
Aye. All right, thank you very much, 2F21VA. Motion carries as submitted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. And unless there's other business.
Yes, I knew Daniel.
I thought maybe you'd say something.
just real quick, wanted to remind everybody there's that training tomorrow from 1 to 3 o'clock. It's on the fair housing aspects of land use and zoning decisions. If you didn't get the email invitation, please let me know. I did update it with the Zoom link today, and I will send out the forms that you need for certification for the annual BZA training hours. I'll send those out to you all tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Well,
Christina?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I will probably be in the car tomorrow and accessing it through my phone or through my laptop. So I assume that will work.
Yep, it should be, no problem.
Christina, you said you sent that via email?
I sent it via the Zoom link, you mean? There's a Zoom link that should be, if you go to your email and you open up that event on your Outlook calendar.
Gotcha.
Put it in the details.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
All right, well, don't everybody be too excited about that for tomorrow.
Hey, the state legislature did it, not me, sorry.
I'm just kidding. All right, thank you all very much. With nothing else in front of us, I will adjourn the meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.